Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some hard hit balls. Here's Pete Crow Armstrong, a lefty batter. He swings and cranks one out to right field. Wow. I mean, that one shot out of here in a hurry. A two-run home run, is sixth of the year. And the Cubs in back-to-back innings have hit some two-run homers off Heaney. It's 4-0 Chicago.
That was cranked and got out there in a hurry.
1-2 is guided in the air to left. Ian Happ secures the final out. Shutout win for the Cubs, 9-0.
The Cubs, the highest scoring team in Major League Baseball. They entered the game with five guys with slugging percentages over 500. The Pirates had four guys with slugging percentages below 400. And that was reflected in the final score, 9-0. The Pirates now 11-19. They have all of a sudden lost three in a row after that 3-1 start to the West Coast road trip. They have the third worst record in all of Major League Baseball, Doran.
Yep.
One of the worst run differentials in all of Major League Baseball in this now year six of the Shelton Charrington regime. It's just simply unacceptable. Andrew Filippone pointed out on Twitter last night, and I hadn't thought about it like this, that there was not a single position player in the lineup, not one, that was drafted by Ben Charrington.
Huh.
Zero hitters that were homegrown by the Ben Charrington regime. They've been shut out now five times. That's the most in Major League Baseball. And so the question is this: what the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? And I think the theme of today's show could be the general managers in town, Doran. You've got a bad one, or one that has not performed for the Pittsburgh Pirates. You've got one now that has accrued all the power within the Pittsburgh Penguins organization. And you now just saw Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, that regime wrap up their third draft, which might be a good time to look at where they're going and what they've done. But we can start with the Pirates. And, I mean, how bad does this have to get in the middle of this season for changes to come down from on high? Third worst record in all of baseball, and the only two teams that are worse are at the beginning of their rebuild stages? The Chicago White Sox and the Colorado Rockies? The Chicago White Sox were historically bad last year, and if they didn't exist, everyone would make fun of the Rockies. And you're right there, lumped in with those organizations, again, in year six. And, oh yeah, by the by, you've got Paul Skenes and the potential to have one of the best rotations in all of Major League Baseball. Doran, when's it going to change?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know whenever it's necessary to pull the trigger. Like, I mean, you should have saw this coming, one thing. But the real root of all of this and figuring out when there's going to be some change, and if there could be change, it's not going to get any easier. Like, there's some times whenever you go through lulls or you start a season off slow, or you can see, you can you know, see the future. Like, oh, if this pans out, if this does well, if this guy comes back, if we get, you know, Horowitz back, if we get Gonzalez back, maybe we could find something. I don't know if those guys have enough to really vault this team to some type of consistency because of this. You have the Cup series that you're going to finish out here. You have another home series against the Padres, who are pretty damn good this year.
Yes, they are.
As they were last year. After that, you have the Cardinals, who is your, you know, they're the Cardinals to you. Then you have the Braves. Then you have the Mets. Then you have the Phillies. Then you have the Reds. Then you have the Brewers. Then you have the Diamondbacks. And that's in the end of May. Like, it's not going to get easier. So when do you pull the trigger? Because we could look up and be at Memorial Day, and they've won probably 5 more games. So they'll have 16 wins on the season. That's realistic.
Yeah, that's not far-fetched at all.
No.
That's not far-fetched at all.
That's the that's not the problem, but that is the problem right now to me, is that it's not going to get better, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, in the immediacy, you just look, you're right, at the schedule for the next month, and okay, the Reds, but you went to Cincinnati and they cleaned your clock couldn't score any runs. I actually thought that going 3-3 on the road trip, where they played mostly pretty decent baseball, I thought maybe it could be a turning point. But the reason why you just can't squint in seeing it turn around is because they're doing a lot of the same crap again, man. Mm-hmm. And while I would rank Ben Sherrington as the bigger problem than Derek Shelton, make no mistake about it, Derek Shelton is a problem. And there's two examples from that West Coast road trip. Like, in 5 of the 6 games, you could reasonably argue they should have won the game. And that means you're playing all right baseball. It also means you squandered opportunity. And why? Here's two examples. Colin Holderman, and you asked Neil Walker about this yesterday. I thought it was a really good question. Colin Holderman, who stunk at the end of last season and stunk at the beginning of this year, and stunk in his AAA rehab assignment. He comes back fresh off the IL. And when David Bednar came back, they eased him into the later inning role. He crushed it at AAA, comes up here, pitched great in lower leverage situations, and then he gets the 9th inning against the Dodgers in the Skeens game. That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
You warm him back up to it. Colin Holderman comes fresh off the IL. It's a friggin' tight game against the damn Dodgers. You put him in the 8th inning right away?
What?
Second pitch, Doran. Tater. Then he goes out there last night, and it's not a high leverage situation because the game had gotten away from them, but he actually didn't prove, Doran. It was the 3rd pitch. Bang. Tater. He ain't got it anymore. And to put him into a high-leverage situation when he's given you no reason to do that right off the IL, it's managerial malpractice. One more example. It was in the 2nd game of that 3-game set against the Dodgers, which was a back-and-forth affair, a really good, entertaining baseball game. But the Pirates made mistakes, and the Dodgers, well, they're the Dodgers. Mike Rabello, the third base coach, who, oh my God, this guy. He's got a windmill for an arm. You might as well put him in the middle of a miniature golf course, Doran. He's just swinging his arm at all times. Looks like he's got some sort of disease or something. Just swinging his arm like crazy. You've got a pop-up to short right field. And your catcher's at 3rd base. And he tags. And you send him? He gets thrown out at the dish, and that is a massive mistake.
Yes.
Worse yet, after the game, Derek Shelton gets asked what happened there, and he says, I don't really know what happened there. You had 6 innings after that to pull Joey Bart and Mike Rabello to the side and say, which one of you two goofballs F that up?
Yes.
That's what a good leader does. You don't have to crush him for it. But you need to understand what happened
The thought process around doing that and who stepped forward of doing it.
Yes, so that it damn well doesn't happen again. The Pirates, statistically speaking, have made more outs at 3rd base than any team in Major League Baseball. So coming into 3rd, they're getting thrown out. Being waved around 3rd, they're getting thrown out at a very high rate. and you've got a manager that's not interested in finding out what happened there when you're giving away outs against the best team in baseball. You can't afford, whenever you're supposed to quote-unquote win in the margins, to give up outs against anybody, let alone the damn Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe he's protecting Joey Bart and or Mike Rabello after the game, but there's an obvious answer then you can give. I know what happened there. I've addressed it with the parties, and we're hoping it never happens again. You can't say, I don't know.
Enough with the protecting. Like, you, I don't think that you're in a position to be protecting anybody but yourself and your team.
Great
like,
point.
Like, not, and everything is on the table. Like, if there's a mistake, make it aware of what the mistake was and who did it. Like, I don't think that you're in a situation, in a position right now, just like Skeen said, you know, the friends hold friends kind of quote thing he said. Like, mistakes? Hey, this guy made a mistake. That can't happen.
Yeah.
That's where you're at. That's where you need to be, at least. Can't be protecting people if that was the case, if he was trying to protect the third base coach and Joey Bart.
Yeah, I mean, someone screwed up. And
you don't know?
Right. Or if you do know, you shouldn't play dumb. You should at least say, yeah, they screwed up. I know who screwed up. And it's been addressed. That's what people want to hear. They want accountability. The answer cannot be, I don't know. It'd be like, hey, Mike Tomlin, whose decision was it? I don't even know what the analogy would be. Like, I don't know, Russell Wilson. What was the play call on that final fourth down you guys didn't convert? And Tomlin goes, oh, I don't know. Like, that's never the answer.
No.
I don't know. Bad analogy by me. You get the point. Texter, hey guys, don't forget that Carmen Majinski's starting again today against the best scoring team in baseball. This has been a disaster from the start with him, and there are unfounded, at least right now, rumors that Thomas Harrington has been called back up, and so you would figure, if that's true, that it's going to be Majinski and then Harrington piggybacks off of him. But if the strength of your team is supposed to be the starting rotation, and Andrew Heaney up until last night has been unbelievable. Paul Skeens has been really good. Mitch Keller thus far pretty hit or miss, but when he's been on, he's been really good, like that Cardinals game a couple of weeks ago. You negate one good start every time you throw Carmen Majinski out there.
It's not his fault.
I am with you 100%.
And that's not his fault. He's out of position.
You are what you are. Like, you're not going to ask some, like, you weren't going to throw the ball consistently to Jerome Bettis.
Right.
You're going to hand it off to him, and he's going to run it between the tackles. And if you swing a pass to him on third down and he drops it because you throw it a little bit high, that ain't really on Jerome. That's on the play call. Carmen Majinski, I think, could be a really good reliever. As he shows you, he mows down a lineup pretty much every time through two innings. He's a reliever. You are negating your biggest strength every time he takes the ball for a start. And that is a front office decision. And then the front office doesn't have any homegrown hitting talent. And then you have the manager just screwing the pooch over and over again. So what do you do now? How bad does it have to get before Bob Nutting needs to make a change? Because that's a change that's not going to happen. You can keep chanting sell the team. And believe me, I understand the frustration. When we're talking about changes, we're talking about the GM, we're talking about the manager. How bad does it need to get before one of those guys or both of those guys loses their job? Because you're 11-19 right now, and the season is slipping away before it really even started. 412-928-9370, you can weigh in. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40.
period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Swinging a deep fly ball out to left. Pham racing back. Warning track and gone. Home run, Carson Kelly. What a start to this season for the Cubs catcher. His seventh home run. And it's 2-0 Chicago.
All right, a couple of stats that'll make you pull your hair out here, Doran. This from North Shore 9 on the Twitter.com, a wonderful Pirates burner account. Bucks are now given a 3.8% chance to make the playoffs by Fangraphs. That seems high to me.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got the third worst record in all of baseball, they would have to, and this is where the math just is, like, they're not going to do this. It's a 0% chance. They'd have to go 74 and 58 the rest of the year to win 85 games.
Zero chance.
Zero chance. Like, Bubba Chandler's going to come up at some point, kick Majinski out, right? And the rotation looks good, and the bullpen has largely stabilized, unless you're going to keep rolling Holderman out there. But you can't hit. You can't hit. And the pitching needs to be perfect if you can't hit. Here's one more stat. This from Jim Rosati, Northside Notch, like this dude too on Twitter. Rowdy Tellez last year on April 29th was hitting 198 with a 55 WRC+. That's one of these fancy stats. You'd like to be at 100. That's average. So you'd really like to be above 100. 55 WRC plus. 198 batting average. Tommy Pham right now. 178 with a 34 WRC plus. And they're just rolling Tommy Pham out there every day.
Yep.
Every day. Meanwhile, Gorski hit a home run in his first major league at bat. They don't get him in the lineup again until yesterday?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's absurd, Doran. It's absurd. There's a 0% chance. I don't care what Fangraphs says that they go 74 and 58 the rest of the way, 16 games over 500.
Like, where are you getting the 3%?
I don't get that.
Skeens, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, just let Skeens pitch every day.
Right. Yep.
Skeens, after his Dodgers start, this was in Sports Illustrated. There was a piece on big time hard throwing dudes and what they do to take care of their bodies to avoid arm injuries.
Uh-huh.
And Skeens goes, Yeah, when I'm out there, because he threw 108 pitches in that Dodgers game where he was brilliant. And he alone is reason to watch this team. He was brilliant. He said after the game, I think I'm built to throw 140 pitches. And he had another quote, I'm paraphrasing here, where he said initially he would study guys like Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole. And Gerrit Cole obviously recently has undergone arm issues. But guys who throw really hard and they have for a long time in their career that haven't dealt with arm stuff, he said he used to model his routine off those guys. But he says now he thinks people should model it off of him because he's a different guy.
Yeah.
He's his own cat.
Mm-hmm.
I love that from him.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes me depressed. And that's why I do feel like Pirates fans, we've been through a lot, are at one of the lowest points we've ever been at because you've got this guy who's unquestionably the best in the game at what he does and arguably pound for pound the best player in all of Major League Baseball. And you're trotting Tommy Pham, just as an example.
Slap in the face.
Out there every day. It's a slap in the face.
Oh. And it has been since the offseason, too. And that's where it starts. And you didn't do anything. You got Tommy Pham instead of getting somebody or paying somebody legit.
It's one thing to sign Tommy Pham. And he's the 26th guy on your roster. And he plays twice a week. And he's a pinch hitter. And I don't know that I ever subscribed to this, because I like the tangible instead of the intangible. But let's say you really feel like you need another dude in that clubhouse. And maybe a guy who's not afraid to call guys to the carpet. You think that that's really going to matter for you. Okay, it's one thing to spend a few million bucks on that guy. But they play him every day.
Yeah, for him to be your full-time starter.
He plays in the outfield every single day. And maybe even more damning is that they don't feel like they've got a guy in the organization that could push him out of the lineup.
Yep.
How can that be the case? The only homegrown guy that they would have in the lineup would be Nick Gonzalez if he were healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Hank Davis, who's now kind of become Paul Skeens' personal catcher, like when he plays, all right, you got two homegrown guys in the lineup. And one was decent last year for you, but really was an average player, which by comparison looked really good. And the other's a guy that's, and I like him, and I think he works hard, is he's flirting with bus territory. That's what you've gotten out of the Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton regime.
Yep.
And it's damning for both of them, because Cherington obviously hasn't done a good job with the draft, but Derek Shelton is a hitting coach by trade. And so any of these guys that don't pan out, any of these guys who you kick it in reverse that have gone backwards like Jack Sawinski, Derek Shelton has to wear that too. You're supposed to develop these guys. You're a hitting coach, man.
A good question here on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, why does it make sense to, if you were to fire Shelton now, like what would change? Why not just wait till the end of the season?
You're probably right because, again, they've got a 3.8% chance of making the playoffs.
So what's the point? You might as well keep him around, right?
I think you at least need to show your fans you care a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
That would be it.
Throw him a bone.
Yeah.
Throw him a bone. That's why they did the Paul Skeens thing on bobblehead night when you had lines all the way to Gateway Center and they said, okay, everyone who comes in gets a bobblehead. That was a nice play by them. If they were 20-11 or whatever the inverse of the record would have been at the time of the Paul Skeens bobblehead, I don't know that they do that. If the Clemente thing never happened, if the Pirates Bricks thing never happened, I don't know if every person entering the ballpark gets a bobblehead. They needed a PR win. You need to show this fan base that you are paying attention. And at 11-19, if you keep letting the manager manage and you keep letting the general manager do general manager things, you're saying, whether you like it or not, whether it's true or not, you're saying you're okay with what's going on here. Sometimes you got to get rid of a hostage, you know?
Yeah.
And Derek Shelton's a nice guy. Like, I always feel bad when nice guys lose their jobs, but you're getting paid swimmingly.
Yeah, do you win or lose?
Do you win or lose?
Like, you're not here to be, like, a nice person.
He's got one of the lowest winning percentages for a guy who's managed this many games in the history of the sport. Now, the first few years, that's not his fault, but we already pointed to two examples today, and the list can have many more bullet points on it of things that he has done to actively lose games this year. So you're right. It probably doesn't. Okay, you fire Shelton. It doesn't mean Mike Sullivan's going to come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And turn this thing around, just play, moving forward. Like, you're right. The results on the field are probably going to stay the same. But you have to show the fan base. You have to throw the fan base a bone. Show us you care. Just keep trotting out the same manager and the same lineups and the same crap every day. It looks like, true or otherwise, that they don't care.
Yep.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. 9,500 people there last night. I realized there was a significant weather event before the game, but then it wound up being one of the nicest nights for baseball all year long. 9,500 people there. You had 8,000 people there for a skiing start a couple of weeks ago. Routinely drawing under 10,000 fans. And the ones that are there chanting, sell the team. Throw them a bone. Give them something. Give us something, please. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's kind of the theme of the day, GMs, right? You got Ben Cherington, who hasn't drafted a hitter that's worth anything. You've got Omar Khan, just completed his third draft. And then you've got Kyle Dubas, who is now the man.
Yes, he is.
With the Pittsburgh Penguins. And we put out a Twitter poll yesterday. Are you, how did we put it? Do you trust Kyle Dubas' vision for the Penguins? The results of the Twitter poll blew my socks off. And I'd like to get into that coming up next, Norm.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Just a summary off the top. Obviously, another year with the team falling short of the playoffs, and I think that's obviously an immediate measure. We're here today, and there are 16 teams that are competing to try to win the Stanley Cup. And as we've talked about previously, that's really our goal is to build the team back to being a contender for the Stanley Cup. It's not trying to find a way to just sneak into the playoffs. It's trying to find a way to arrive back there and then remain there in contention. And we continue committed to our plan and program to return us there as urgently as possible.
All right, that was Kyle Dubas at his end of season press conference. It's not just about sneaking in; it's about building back to championship caliber, and on the surface, it's tough to disagree with that. Like, the Steelers, year by year, they're just thinking, let's do what we can to win this year, and we've talked to Doug Whaley about this. You need to have your eye on the prize, and sometimes that means taking a step back to take two steps forward. So I agree with that vision. But the question yesterday on our Twitter poll was, do you trust Kyle Dubas's vision for the Penguins? 67% of people who voted, and there was a ton of people who voted, said yes. I don't know how anybody can just have blind faith in this guy. His team in Toronto won one playoff series and was a top five team in the NHL in terms of pure talent, maybe even better than that. I might be shortchanging them on that. One playoff series. And yeah, he's done some nice things like accruing all these draft picks these next 3 years. And the Gensel trade looks like early returns could wind up being pretty good. But this is the same guy that got Erik Karlsson in here, who was on their second power play unit this year at $10 million. A guy who signed Ryan Graves, who is terrible, and made a ton of questionable decisions these first couple of years. And 67% of Penguins fans right now are going to say, yeah, they've got faith that this dude's going to nail the rebuild. I'm not saying he sucks, but I ain't going to say I have faith.
Mm-hmm. Like, where? What other direction could do people have to go in? Like, who else are they going to? Who else do they have to rely on? I feel like that's kind of what the case is. It's like, I mean, Sullivan's gone. You had a lot of connections to other things before in the past, in the last 10 years. A lot of change has been made. So I guess you kind of have to have faith. Is that what the word you used?
It's blind faith, I think. Is
you it, have to.
To your exact point, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. You need to latch on to something as a Penguins fan.
Yes.
And that's what you're latching onto, because he is not the face of the organization. That's obviously Sidney Crosby, and as long as Sid's here, he's going to be the face. But this is the man who has all the power.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't Sid. Sid got a 5-minute phone call. The organization is in the hands of Kyle Dubas, and whatever direction he steers it, if the ship sinks, it's on him. If there's success, it's on him. And I think it's about 50-50.
Yeah.
As to whether or not this thing succeeds. I like the 16 top 3-round draft picks the next 3 years. You have to hit on those guys, or you have to use some of those picks, trade them to get better players up in here. They're going to have a lot of cap space this offseason. They're going to have a mega amount next offseason. You've got to spend it on the non-Ryan Graves, on the non-Tristan Jarrs. You have to spend the money well. You have to use the assets well. And I think people think this guy's a genius because he's young and he wears glasses.
Well, I think he will do that. Now, will they hit? Will it make sense? I mean, will it fit for what the coach that they hire wants to do? The only reason why I have faith that he will make some splash signings is because he did with Carlson. Like, we were the only people... Well, actually, TK was the only person that said it probably wouldn't work, and it wasn't a good fit. But yeah. We all liked it at the time because he was a name. Like, he went for it, even though probably didn't know if it was going to be a good fit or not, and obviously it hasn't been. So that right there showed me that he is at least willing to pay a top and a premier hockey player to join this team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they were in on the Mitch Marner sweepstakes this offseason. Because Dubas did say when they got Carlson, we're always going to be in on the big fish or something to that effect.
Yep.
But then he also spends money on the Ryan Graves and the Tristan Jarrys of the world. So they may well go out and get a big-time dog. They might go out and do that. I mean, they did it in Toronto with John Tavares. That wouldn't shock me. What about the ancillary pieces?
Right.
Are you going to be able to fit those all in? And you brought up the coach. Are you going to hire the right coach? Sheldon Keefe was the guy in Toronto. He wound up getting fired. So that doesn't necessarily mean he's a bad coach. Mike Sullivan was fired. Dan Bylsma was fired, then got rehired. We see it all the time in the NHL. Mm-hmm. But his guy that he hired at three different levels, at Sault Ste. Marie, with the Toronto Marlies, then with the Toronto Maple Leafs, that guy ultimately got fired. He got fired.
Yep.
Right? So, hey, I think the process is sound. Getting all those picks. Moving on from Mike Sullivan, whomever's decision that was. Sound process. Whether the Penguins become good or not is now going to be about, did you select the right players with those picks, or did you turn those picks into good NHL players by trading those picks?
And how long is it going to take for it to happen? Like, where's the line? Like, how much grace do we give them? How much grace do we give them to turn this around? Like, it could be, what, five years? Okay, like maybe he has a chance to turn around in 5 years, but is it a 2-year turnaround? Like, what is the line where it's like, okay, like is he doing a good job or not?
I think you have to use his own words against him here, and they'd like to see Sidney Crosby have a chance to win again.
And so 2 years,
right? Right, and I think
got a lot of work to do,
ton of work to do. You have to purge, right? I don't think Tristan Jarry should be part of this thing. But it sounded like in his end-of-season press conference, like he will be, that they'll have a competition at goal. I mean, I would consider buying him out. I know he played well down the stretch. You can't view him as part of the success, the future success here. I just am a little bit surprised that people are just blindly saying, oh, yeah, we trust the vision here.
Yeah, I just think they don't have a choice.
And that's probably the answer. That's probably the right answer there. If you believe in Kyle Dubas, you can let us know why you believe in Kyle Dubas at 412-928-9370. We tend to do that in life and as sports fans. hey, this is the one thing we got, so we might as well support it. But I think that's the only reason you can, because the beginning of the tenure was bad, and his time in Toronto wasn't great. Someone texted in, if Dubas put together a team with top five talent, he did his job. Well, a lot of that talent was there before Dubas took over. And so he was charged more with a Rutherford job than a Shiro job.
Mm-hmm.
And really, even Shiro, he inherited the big three, or big four, Jordan Staal at the time. Like, Shiro was charged with putting pieces around those guys. Rutherford was charged with putting pieces around those guys. Dubas in Toronto was charged with putting pieces around those guys to supplement them and get them over the top. And they won one playoff series. And a team that he largely put together right now is tight bum time against Ottawa. They just got shut out yesterday, 4-0, and a lot of the principal pieces were his. So, hey, I hope Kyle Dubas is the man for the job. But because he's young and analytically driven and wears glasses, I think people give him a lot more benefit of the doubt. And I do want to be clear, I'm rooting for him, of course.
Yeah.
Of course I'm rooting for him. And I've heard he's a nice guy. Like, I'm rooting for him.
For sure.
It's our franchise. I just can't say, oh, yeah, well, they got the right man for the job. I don't know that. A lot of Penguins media seems to be saying that. Like, collectively, hand in hand, this is the guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's the evidence?
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for is evidence. I see no evidence.
Yeah, they also said that Sullivan would not be fired. So.
Correct. And they got what happened wrong.
Right.
These beat writers. It ain't personal, like a lot of them, but they got it wrong. If you believe in Dubas, why? At 412-928-9370. Do you have faith in the vision of Kyle Dubas? 67% of people who were asked that question on Twitter yesterday said yes, they have faith in Kyle Dubas. And here's a really good text on this, Doran. Real quick, 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Here's the text. Dubas has favorable approval because he fired the coach. Khan would get everyone thinking he's doing the right thing if he fired Tomlin. It's what Pittsburgh wants. That's exactly why, despite the press release from the Penguins saying, oh, it's a mutual parting of the ways, Kyle Dubas wanted everyone to know in his press conference it was his decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows that the people wanted change. And so, regardless of whether or not he made the call or Sully made the call or it was a mutual parting of the ways, it behooves him, it behooves the organization for Dubas to come up there and say, oh, yep, it was me. I've been thinking about it all year. All year long I was considering this.
I'm with you. I understand what you're feeling.
Yeah. I wanted to win more.
Mm-hmm.
Sully wanted to win more, but he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking this all season long. Why did it take 11 days? Why do I not have a list of candidates right now? I can't explain that, but this was my decision. It's why they were all the Penguins beat writers. Wonder where they're getting their information. Penguin sources say there was no demands made by Mike Sullivan. There absolutely were. Sully wanted the team to contend faster. Dubas said it's going to take some time. And Sullivan said, well, if I'm going to stick around, I need X, Y, and Z to happen, or else it's just not worth it for me. Meanwhile, we find out yesterday there's five teams, according to national reports from Canada, bidding on his services.
Yep.
Do we feel like this is an accident and a coincidence?
Yeah, right.
Boston, his home, is open.
Yeah.
New York Rangers, President's Trophy winning team last year.
He's going to reset the market.
Yes.
Of highest paid coaches.
Guess who else is available? And I don't know that this will happen. Jim Rutherford's coach is gone now. Rick Tocchet not coming back.
Oh, man.
They had 109 points, not this year, but last year. They had 90 points this year. They're clearly closer to contention.
So how was their relationship? Do we know?
They say they're great friends. And in fact, yesterday, Rutherford said that he doesn't think Sullivan's interested in coming out west because he's a good family man. But you have five franchises right now with various selling points that could bid for his services, and I'm supposed to believe that he didn't want to leave?
Right.
Like, I think
what's the easiest way to get out if you want to leave?
Make a list of demands.
Yeah. Interesting.
Dubas wants to build this thing, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? He wants to do it right. He wants to take some time. Sullivan wants to win now. And so Sully comes in and says, I want to win now. That's a demand. So I just don't see it being a coincidence that you've got a great bidding war opportunity here. And now Sullivan's a free agent? Come on now.
Interesting.
412-928-9370. For those of you who have faith in Kyle Dubas, why? Rob in Chicago, hi.
Morning. Crowley, you sound like you got a bug in your butt for Dubas, and, you know, you got your opinion. Dubas has got the situation that he's in. He's inherited a lot of it. He's got, you know, signing Jerry wasn't the brightest move, but, you know, he's also stuck with Crosby, who's just not willing to break up the get-along gang, and sooner or later, someone's got to take this thing out to the chicken pen and put it down once and for all. He's got to rebuild this thing, whether Crosby likes it or not.
Yeah, but do you think he's the right guy to rebuild them? That's the crux of the question.
Well,
I think we all agree on that.
He's the guy in charge. He's the guy in charge, whether we like it or not.
Right, Ron Hextall was in charge, and that guy sucked.
Well, I think he's better than Hextall. But, I mean, this emotional attachment we've got to these guys, you know, you're dealing with Pittsburgh. We got rid of Rod Woodson. We got rid of Franco. We got rid of Troy Polamalu.
Sure.
Sooner or later, we got to acknowledge that when you come into the league, you're filet mignon, and at the end of your career, you're beef jerky. This Penguins team is loaded with beef jerky that's useless. I mean, they're getting steamrolled by better teams, and it's obvious. And I don't regret seeing Sullivan go, because Sullivan kept on trying to play the same thing they were doing in 2016 and 2017 that wasn't working.
No, you're totally right about a lot of that, and we're filled with meat analogies these last couple
we
of
have
days,
been.
Storm.
Yeah, I like it.
But that got to your point that you made in the last segment. Dubas is the guy in charge, and now Sullivan's gone, and people say, okay, we got to put our faith into something. Let's put our faith into that guy.
Well, and we'll find out in about, a little bit over a month, if he can make the first move because of who this next coach is going to be. I feel like that is very fascinating, and we're all caught up in a lot of things, but this is real. Like, who this next guy is, got to be a part of what Dubas is trying to do and has to hit,
yes.
Right?
Has to hit.
Because if it doesn't, not only does the coach fail, but Dubas fails as well.
Yes. Yes.
And then you're setting yourself back. How much longer are you setting yourself back if this next coach fails and Dubas fails as well?
Yeah, and I guess what I'm saying is I'm scared.
Scared.
Scared. He might hire a great coach. I based on evidence, though, I can't say I know for sure he's going to. He hired Sheldon Keefe, who was on the hot seat in New Jersey this year.
Do you think if you gave him truth serum, that whenever he first got hired, that he would have fired Mike Sullivan if he was allowed to hire his own coach? I think yes.
It's a great question. Every guy wants their own guy. Every guy wants their own
guy.
Even
if you're going to a situation where you have a coach that had won two Stanley Cups with this organization in some of the core, I still think he would have. I feel like it makes it a little bit harder whenever you're going to a situation you have a coach that has won.
Yeah, and you've won one playoff series,
right.
And that guy won 9 in a row to start his Penguins career.
I still think he would.
Probably.
I think he wanted to probably the whole time.
Because you want control. You don't want to butt heads. Right. And Fenway obviously showed how much they love Sullivan by giving him a contract extension before the whole Dubas thing happened. 412-928-9370. I mean, we love Rob in Chicago, and I mean, he's right. Chris Letang had a really bad season, and you hope his heart's okay. I mean, that's the most important thing, but he did not play well. And Evgeny Malkin, yes, he had a rotating cast of characters on his wings. He was nowhere near the Malkin of the past. Nowhere near. Sidney Crosby, still elite. The other two, not great. Now, they're not going to have a Malkin problem, if you want to call it that, after this year. We'll see what happens with Chris Letang. But a lot of Rob's points were good ones. But I can't put blind faith into Kyle Dubas just because he's the last man standing.